sing in the Holy Ghost. We had a circumcision. Worship God in the Spirit. We have no confidence in the flesh. We are the ones equipped to give God perfect praise. The ones equipped to give God perfect praise. We are such men. We are such men. We are such men. Over your ocean and the other day, a man who served another day, a man that is above more and it's about a day. Man, it is over the day of a dover night, even more a day of a dose of a day, the body, man, it is the comprehend our God fully. Oh, we understand Him in the fullness of life. We can't comprehend God. We can't fully know God. We can't comprehend Him, 'cause we are His own.
God is not hidden from me. us to the teachings of the same eternal reality. Abide to cross.
This is my inheritance.
This is my inheritance. The revelation of God in Christ.
It's mine to understand.
It's mine to grasp.
This is my inheritance.
This is my inheritance.
Revelation of God in Christ.
Revelation of God in Christ.
It's mine to understand.
It's mine to understand.
Mine to grasp.
It's mine to grasp.
This is my inheritance.
This is my inheritance.
The revelation of God.
The revelation of God in Christ.
It's mine to understand.
It's mine to understand.
It's mine to grasp.
It's mine to grasp.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. This morning again, we fellowship with eternal realities, eternal truths. He's asked to understand. There is no fear here. No, we have an overwhelming consolation in the scriptures. There's the comfort of it in our souls this morning. As word is taught, clarity, clarity, clarity in each mind. Minds are strengthened, enlightened in the fullness of who they are in Christ. Father, we thank you, for we see you clearly. We see who you have made us. We see our realities. And we are men made better by it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God. God is not hidden from me, from the pages of the scriptures to the teachings of the saints, eternal realities are mine. Glory to God. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Are we ready to learn? Are we ready? Hey, can I see your Bibles? Bibles. 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 Let's see the Bible. Godwin, it's good to see you. Here's your Bible. Very good. All right, can I see your books? All right, this is your Bible. Okay, big one. All right, let me see your books. Books, 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 books. Checklist of the Edified Assembly. All right, everybody's hardcover. Awesome. All right, finally, your pen. Pen should be with two hands. Your pen and your spare, of course. Glory to God. And lastly, please ensure your phones are either on flight mode, silent, turned off, so it doesn't ring and distract anyone. Hallelujah. All right, let's start. Breaking dividing walls, the gospel of inclusion, part 2. We've done the part 1 earlier, and because of time and the things we have to cover today, I will not do a recap. So, breaking dividing walls, the gospel of inclusion. Are we ready? Okay, so we have previously concluded that the Bible is the only divinely authoritative document to know God. Although we discussed last time that the Bible is the only divinely authoritative document to know God, because of its unequivocal testimony concerning Jesus, because the Bible speaks solely about Jesus, and Jesus is the sole revealer of God, therefore the Bible is the document to know God. And we saw also that the Bible has only one interpretation and not multiple interpretation. So this morning we're going to start by examining closely what Bible interpretation is and the need for it. What is Bible interpretation? We keep saying interpretation of the Bible. What does it mean? It's Psalms chapter 78. The writings in the Old Testament can be likened to a riddle or a puzzle. I want to put it that way. Psalm chapter 78. From verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that it should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandment. So we are seeing that David is talking about a teaching, a fundamental teaching that will be handed down to children for generations. Yet he called it dark sayings. Dark sayings of old. It is important, it is relevant, it must be handed over, but he called it dark saying. So that word dark saying there is what is called Tilda. It means a riddle, a puzzle, or a dark, obscure utterance. Of course, you know the meaning of obscure, when something is not clear. The opposite of clarity. The dark saying, that's what it means. Riddle. Puzzle. Let's see Numbers. Numbers. Help me this morning, be as fast as you can. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Verse 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So in a nutshell, we see how the prophets receive what they receive. And it is called that same word, dark sayings, riddle, the puzzle. It's not clear, it's obscure. And imagine Moses being said here that he sees or he receives clarity and see what he documented. How clear was that? For you to understand that the entire things the prophets received and documented was not clear at all, or was not as clear as it should be. So, let's see an example of how this reading is used. Judges. Just see an example so that you can further understand the meaning of dark sayings or riddles. Judges chapter 14. Judges 14, verse 12. Judges 14, 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it to be within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then will I give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. So, Samson was issuing a challenge. He said, I will give you a riddle. If you can understand what the riddle is, if you can unravel it, then I will give you a prize. So that word riddle there is the same word that says a puzzle. It cannot be apparent. It's not clear on its value. So, verse 13 now says, but if you cannot declare it to me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And he said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. Then see the widow, verse 14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the widow. So does that, can you understand that from just seeing that? Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. So it wasn't something they could understand what it meant for 3 days. That is the meaning of a widow. And that is how the Bible says that the prophets received their own utterance, what they wrote. So what they wrote can be termed a riddle, a puzzle, a dark saying. Well, see the interpretation of that riddle in verse 18. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? Imagine the interpretation and what was said. I'm sure if I give you some of you 1 year, you will not be able to uncover that. That is the meaning of what he was trying to say. That is the meaning of a riddle. That is how it comes forth. So, because of this, what is the relevance to this in Bible interpretation? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. From verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So we see Peter summarizing everything the prophets documented down as a search. He said they were searching. He summarized all the activity as a search. And search there means to investigate, to explore, to scrutinize, to explore, to inquire, to try to know something. Peter said the prophets were on a search. They were investigating something. So because it is called a search, they are already warned, or you have been forewarned about the lack of perfection that will arise in the documentation. By telling you that the prophets were searching in their documentation, Peter is already warning you beforehand about the imperfections that you might find in their documentation. And of course, we know that this inconsistency or any imperfection there will not be deliberate. It's not due to a malicious intent on the part of the prophet. No. It wasn't deliberate on their part. The fact that there might be imperfections is not deliberate. It is simply the limitation of flesh trying to discern spirit. The imperfection is not deliberate. It is simply the limitation of flesh trying to discern spirit. Or we can say the natural attempting to decode the supernatural. That limitation is what will cause the inconsistency. There will definitely be a gap. Let's see 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have a long way to go today. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that word there, receiveth, it means to take upon oneself. The natural man receiveth not. The natural man cannot take upon himself. He cannot sustain. He cannot bear. Receiveth also means to learn. So the natural man cannot learn the things of the Spirit. And who is the natural man? The natural man is the one without God's Spirit. That's a comparison there. The man without God's Spirit. The man that's all about him is just of the earth. There is nothing outside the earth that is about him. So such a man cannot sustain, cannot learn the things that are spiritual. Cannot. That's what the Bible says there. It cannot. He receiveth not. And that verse 14 now says again that for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Know there is gnosko, as we know, and it simply means to understand. He cannot know them. He cannot understand them. He cannot be acquainted. What does that mean of it? Acquainted. To be sure of something. That's another meaning. So, the natural man cannot be sure of things spiritual. He cannot be acquainted with things spiritual because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. And discerned there, to discern something, is the word anakrino. A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O. And it means to investigate. To investigate, to inquire, to scrutinize, to search anyone you can get. To be able to examine something in order to discover the defects or excellence of it. Similar to what the prophets were doing, right? In 1 Peter, a search. So, and the Bible now tells us here that the natural man cannot discern it, cannot know them, the things of the Spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. Well, verse 15 now says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The word judgeth there is the same word of anakrino. To be able to discern, to be able to search, to be able to know. So it is the man that is spiritual that can discern, that can fully know, that can examine and search out things spiritual. As simple as that. And when we say he that is spiritual there, we're not talking about an external factor. An external factor, no. Because it must be, it pertains to the nature of that person. He that is spiritual speaks of his nature. Not an external factor. Not an external influence. But his makeup. His nature. Spirituality must be fundamental to the makeup of a man. For him to be able to correctly understand the things that pertain to the Spirit. It's as simple as that. That's what I've been saying. It must be a fundamental part of a man's makeup, spirituality, for him to be able to understand the things that pertain to the Spirit. And of course, as we said last time, in 1 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1 again, you will see there, 1 Peter 1, 10 to 11, 10 and 11, 2 Peter 1, 19 to 21, you will see that the men speak moved by the Holy Ghost, right? So the men were aided in their search by the Spirit. So even though they were aided in the search by the Holy Ghost, yet there was still limitation because that was an external influence and not a part of their makeup. It was not a part of their makeup. Because the spirituality that can fully understand is the spirituality that is a part of a man's makeup. Why do we say the Spirit was external to the prophets? John chapter 7. Let's read some of our scriptures again. John 7. I want to believe I'm not fasting. Amen. John 7. Bibles are not yet turning. Wait for you. John 7, 37. John 7, 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So, John explained clearly there that what Jesus was speaking about, that men will receive from him, men will be able to drink from him, is the Spirit which he will give to them. And he says that that Spirit was contingent on the glorification of Jesus. It is the glorification of Jesus that can bring about such a possibility. And I'll just read Acts 2, 33 for you. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." That means it is the glorification of Jesus, the exalting of Jesus after his death and burial, that will make the Spirit available. So it is clear that before that event happened, Acts 2, 33, it's clear that before that event happened, before Jesus' glorification, the Spirit did not indwell anyone. John chapter 16. John 16. John chapter 16. John 16, verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." The same word, you can't bear them, you can't sustain it, you can't understand it fully. You can't bear them now. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it to you." So you see, again, Jesus made it clear that a fundamental requirement to be able to fully bear the things that pertain to the Spirit is that permanent inward guidance of the Holy Ghost. Permanent inward guidance of the Holy Ghost is the requisite, the fundamental need or the basis for which things spiritual can be understood. Simple. You can't bear the truth without it. You cannot sustain the truth without it. You cannot endure the truth without it. It is not their fault, simply the limitation of the natural man. As simple as that. Same thing in John 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he might abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So Jesus said it again, that the Spirit will be in you. A reiteration of that promise. In you. And the Old Testament prophets understood that they themselves did not have that indwelling of the Spirit. And they were content to speak about it as a future event that will come about. They knew it's not for men today to be dragging Yeah, how can you say the prophets did not have the Holy Ghost in them? No. They themselves knew that that indwelling is a futuristic event. See Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 36. Several scriptures, we'll just read this one because we are not yet where we should be. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. 26. A new spirit also will I give you, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. So the prophets were content to speak about that indwelling that will happen. I will put my spirit within you. Something that is going to happen. That was why Peter said they understood that it was not unto themselves they were speaking, but unto us. They were not ministering to themselves, but unto a people that shall be born. And they were content to speak about it in that light. So, we recognize the limitation of the prophets in the documentation. We have to recognize that. The prophets were limited in their documentation. And what is that limitation? They were natural. Natural men. The prophets were limited in their documentation of the scriptures because they were natural men. Even though we recognize this fact, we also acknowledge that the scriptures do not suffer as a result of that. The scriptures do not suffer as a result of that limitation. No, it does not. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1. Does anyone have the Amplified version? Anyone is not here. Amplified. Huh? Amplified version. Something I want to bring. All right, just read it out. Like, why call you? Why are thou slow? Please shut the door. Thou as an unbeliever. Okay, let me read the KJV while you're waiting. God, at sundry times and in diverse manners, speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Are you ready now? Thou as an unbeliever. Do you have it? Say it again, let me forgive you.
Many separate revelations, okay. Each of which set forth a portion of the truth, mm-hmm. and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets.
Okay, please read it again.
In many separate revelations. Each of which set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways. God spoke of old. To our forefathers. In and by the prophets.
So this clearly tells us that what the prophets set out was a portion of the truth. The statement we're explaining now is that even though we recognize the limitation of the prophets in their nature as affecting the documentation, yet we acknowledge that it does not affect the Bible. Why? Because what they wrote down was a portion of the truth, not falsehood. What each of them wrote down was a portion, it set forth a portion of the truth across the different ages. In the multitude of their utterance, in the multitude of their dark saying, a portion of the truth is embedded in it. A portion of the truth is embedded in that dark saying. in those utterances, a portion of the truth is hidden inside it. So, because it was a search, of course, as Pastor has said countless times, because it was a search, three things will happen. At times, they will get it wrong, totally. At times, they will be on their way to being correct. And at times, they will be correct. Three things. So, we see all of that in their utterances. Sometimes, it will just be totally off. Sometimes, it will be a part correct. Sometimes, it will be fully correct. So, recognize all that. But it's simply the frailty of natural men that are endeavoring to decode the intention of divinity. So, recognize that. Now, there are two things why the Bible will not suffer because of this limitation. Two things. We are going to examine two things. Two clear things why, even though the Bible was documented by natural men who were writing and receiving in dark scenes, in riddles, in puzzles, yet the Bible will not suffer in its intention or in its purpose to explain God. Two reasons. Number one, are we ready? Are we ready to look at the two reasons? Number one, we have all the pieces of the puzzle. We have all the pieces of the puzzle. All the pieces of the puzzle. All the pieces of the puzzle. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. We have all the pieces of the puzzle. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So, we see that it is all scriptures that has been given to us to profit from. Not the parts, but the whole. It is the whole scriptures. That's why you say we have all the pieces of the puzzle. We have the whole scripture. And as Pastor said clearly in Understanding Genesis, that because we have an intelligent being behind the documentation, prophecies did not cease until all the information required to search out or to fully understand what God was saying was inside it. Is that clear? So, prophecies did not cease. It spanned for years. Genesis to Malachi, thousands of years. Yet, it did not cease. The men did not stop receiving and documenting until every single information that is necessary to explain God was inside it. And like we saw on Wednesday, even if one person comes and speaks only the hand, another person comes and talks about the right leg, another person comes to describe the eye, at the end of the day, everybody said all they needed to say concerning the whole truth before prophecies closed. That is why I said we have all the pieces of the puzzle. So, what we have in the Old Testament portion, please note this clearly. What we have in the Old Testament portion is not 1 million or 1 billion different meanings, as some persons will want to say. It is not that, but 1 billion different pieces of the puzzle. Of course, that amount, I'm not saying that that's what we have there. I'm just trying to explain something. We don't have 1,000 different meanings in the Old Testament portion. What we have is 1,000 different pieces of the puzzle. You get the difference. So, we have all the pieces of the puzzle that, if correctly put together, must form one picture. How many of you have bought this puzzle kind of things for your kids? Okay, many of you don't have kids, yeah. For those who have kids, yes, and those who we have, you see them selling picture puzzles of maybe a man. It will come scattered in different pieces. But they will already tell you the picture that it's supposed to form. So even if you have 1,000 pieces, what is your job? Put it together to form what? One picture. So if you do not have a part of the puzzle pieces, will the picture be complete? No. So that is what we have in the Old Testament portion. We have all the pieces together to form a picture. Now, it will now be the intelligence or the wisdom will be on the person reading to be able to form that picture. If you cannot arrive at the picture, the problem is not the documentation. It will be that you could not understand it. The problem won't be the puzzle pieces. No. Because the Bible contains a singular truth. And it already also tells you what the picture will form. Where we just read 2 Timothy 3:15, make you wise unto salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. So, the reason why the scriptures are not limited, even though it was natural men that wrote it, is because we have all the pieces of the puzzle and we have the expo of what it should form. You're given all the pieces and you were told this is what it will form. Salvation, true faith in Christ Jesus. So your job is to ensure that all the parts now fit into that picture frame of what it should form. So this is what we mean by Bible interpretation. The Old Testament portion was written in puzzles, riddles, dark saying. But everything is there. And you have been told what it will form. So you have all the pieces and you have the end in mind. So that is what Bible interpretation entails. Number one, to locate the relevant pieces. You must locate the relevant pieces from this Genesis to Malachi. We are explaining Bible interpretation. You explain the relevant pieces. You will cut off excesses. You will cut off the excesses. What is not part of the piece? You cut it off. You will supply the missing link where needed. Supply the missing link. And then you will join all those relevant pieces together to form the picture. You understand that? I should recap. Locate the relevant pieces. Your job in Bible interpretation is to locate those relevant pieces. Cut off excesses. Supply missing links when needed. And then join all those relevant pieces together to form that picture, which is Christ Jesus. As we already seen in part one. Without this, the scriptures cannot make sense. It won't make sense to an individual without doing this. That is joining. It will not make sense. But of course, the problem will not be with the scriptures, but with the man. Let's see Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 44. Then he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Let's read that one together. 45. Want to go? Understand the scriptures. So he opened their mind. That first understanding there is mind. He opened their minds. How did he do that? Through teaching. Through teaching. He opened their mind through teachings and explanations that they might understand the scriptures. Then, see 46. This is that intention. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So 46 and 47 is the understanding they are supposed to receive. Verse 46 and 47 is the understanding a man should receive from the entire scriptures.
So Jesus opening their mind through explanation was to make them see this part. But we are going to be explaining one word there. Understand. Verse 45. The second understand. He opened their understanding, that's their mind, that they might understand the scripture. The second word understand there is the word, let me spell it for you, S-U-N-I-E-M-I. S-U-N-I-E-M-I. What it means is that it means to get together or to bring together. To get something together, different things together, to bring it together, or to join something together in the mind. To join it together in your mind. Join it together in your mind. It means to put the perception with the thing perceived. To put the perception and do right. Leave the door. Put the perception with the things perceived. So you can arrive at a coherence. At a coherence. To bring together. To join together. So this describes what we have been talking about in Bible interpretation. You must bring the different portions together, the relevant parts together, to form a coherence in your mind. And that coherence is what Jesus now talked about in verse 46 and 47. So, when you have this understanding, you will not have a puzzle pieces, for example, that is supposed to form a picture of a man, but you'll be forming pictures of a zoo with all animals, lion, gorilla, everything, and you see from that same puzzle pieces, that cannot happen. It means you don't understand the reason for those pieces. So, in Bible interpretation, this is what we have to do, to understand, to bring something together intelligently. Until it forms this picture, you don't understand the Bible. Let's see how other places will examine that word, synemai, by usage. Matthew 13. To show you the importance of understanding, of this bringing together. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So all those words understand in verse 13, 15, 16, and verse 13 and 15 is that same word. In fact, 13, 14, 15, the same word. He's saying that these people, they will be hearing. You will have all the pieces together, yet you cannot bring it to arrive at that meaning. You will have all the facts you need, yet you cannot arrive at the conclusion you should arrive at. And then he told them the reason. Not because of God, but because of them. Their hearts is wax gross. Their ears have they closed. So when a man's mind is closed, there is no way he can understand. He will have all the pieces, yet not form the picture. Because his mind is closed. The function is the fault of the man and no one else. Acts 28. See something similar again there. The man cannot understand with all the relevant pieces. The fault is his. Acts 28, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto the fathers, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. When you read only that, it looks like they are placing a curse on the people that you will keep hearing but not understand. But see verse 27, for the heart of these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So from that verse 27, Acts 28, 27. From that verse 27, what are the problems of the people? Number one, their eyes are closed. Number two, their ears are closed. Number three, their heart is wax gross. There is no way such a man can understand. Eyes closed, ears closed, mind closed. You will keep staring at all the puzzle pieces in your face, and understanding will not come upon you. No comprehension due to your fault. Let's see Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. The problem is never the documentation, because we have all the pieces. The man does not understand. The fault is his. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. From verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They left a place to another place. And Jesus told them that, he just said, looked at them and said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the conclusion they arrived at was, okay, he's telling us these things because we did not carry bread. Bread, no more bread to eat. Then see verse 8. When Jesus perceived what they were understanding, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? So what was Jesus' response to them? How can you be thinking about bread? I cannot be hacking you for forgetting to bring bread. If you need bread, what will happen? I can make it happen. So how can you not understand what I'm trying to say? They had the words, but they could not arrive at the meaning. So when Jesus told them that, see verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not to beware of the living of the Pharisees, but of the doctrine of the, not the living of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So that word understand there is now when they were able to comprehend. When they were able to now form the right picture in their minds. That okay, what he's saying is that we should beware of false doctrine, not physical bread. So the problem was not with what Jesus said, it was with their understanding. Same problem men face with the scriptures, not with how it's documented, but with their understanding. Let's see another place, Matthew 17. Matthew 17, this was after what happened at the Mount of Transfiguration, as they call it. They saw a vision of Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. So verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. 10, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Because they just saw a vision of Elijah. They don't understand. So they are now asking. But the scribes are saying that Elijah must come first before the Son of Man. We have not seen Elijah. We have seen you. If indeed what they heard was, this is what the Son of God, listen to him. Now, what was Jesus' response? Verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. Para, look at your Bible. And Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, whatever they liked. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of who? Of John the Baptist. So, the fact was John the Baptist already there? Yes. But they could not fully comprehend that, okay, this is the Elijah that the scripture talked about. And they were searching for another one. But upon Jesus speaking again, they now understood that, okay, now we know the Elijah that should come is John the Baptist. So the problem has never been facts. I'm using all this to explain to you again that the problem is not facts. The problem is your understanding. So draw the relevant conclusion from all the facts staring you in the face. Not everyone can get this understanding. Let's see Luke 2. Even if you explain some things, some persons will still not get. Luke chapter 2. This was the story of when Jesus was 12 and he followed his parents and family to Jerusalem for the feast and stayed back to discuss with the doctors of the law, asking them questions and answering theirs. Verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. That means his parents now. Luke chapter 2, verse 48. And when the parents saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. 49. And he said unto them, that's Jesus' response, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. So that word there is the same cinema in verse 50. They were not able to understand. They were not able to bring together his actions, what he said, to arrive at what he's trying to tell them, which is that, hey, I came for a different purpose and I should be about it. Is that clear? Simple. So that is the meaning of understanding. In Bible interpretation, you must bring together this relevant portion to form that picture. One picture. And this is not a casual activity. It is not. 2 Timothy 2 is an activity that requires diligence. Diligence. This is what it means to labor in doctrine. Labor in doctrine. When you see the scripture saying labor in doctrine, that is what it means. To be able to bring all the facts, merge it, cut off the excesses, and form that picture of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, study there, of course, it means to exert oneself. To exert yourself. To labor. To make effort. To give diligence. That's the meaning of study. To labor. An exertion. And the end result of such diligence and labor is to be able to rightly divide. The word rightly divide there means to cut straight. Cut straight through. Cut straight through. To correctly bring, to cut correctly so that you can bring out the truth and show the truth. You must cut correctly. And it's a labor. Must make that effort to ensure that you present the singular truth in the scripture is labor, and that is the duty of believer in this context, Timothy. So, the man who cannot do this is the man who has a reason to be ashamed. That's why I said a workman that needed not to be ashamed. The man who cannot do this, who cannot bring out this scripture, Genesis to Malachi, and teach Christ, arrive at that intention, and form that full picture, is the one who has the cause to be ashamed. Is the one who should be ashamed. Why should he be ashamed? Because he has exposed his lack of wisdom. If the Bible says we have the scriptures, and the wisdom in this scripture is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and Jesus told them, "O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said," the same thing, Christ's suffering and his glory. It simply means that the man who cannot do this is not wise. He is foolish. And by failing to bring out Christ, sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows, he has simply exposed his folly, his foolishness. That is why he has a reason to be ashamed. And of course, this is not to degrade his intellectual capacity. But when you say this, what are you trying to say? I'm a fool, or are you trying to say that I don't understand things? No. It is simply the fact that what the Bible or the skill set required for this is different from what you need to be a lawyer, what you need to be a doctor. You can be the most skilled physician on the planet and still be a fool as touching scriptures. 1 Corinthians. Not degrading anyone's physical or general intellectual capacity when we say they cannot understand. No. Even though, no matter how wise you are, no matter your level of intelligence and reasoning, the persons can. In fact, when you see some persons solving some kind of math, you just become like, ow. The other day I was trying to do an addition average in my recording of scores. As I'm struggling there, Pastor Shea was just with the book, pim, 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 in his head, no calculator, just telling me the scores. Okay, this is, I was just looking at it. Just trying to intimidate persons. But no matter how sharp you are, there are persons that can do all that. Do much more. Calculate the physics and all those difficult. Why am I using science as difficult things? So persons that can read some books and understand some. Think you need to read a 2,000-page book and be able to understand what they are saying. So if you have intelligence for that, does not mean that you have intelligence for scriptures. The scriptures require a different skill set. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, but the cross of Christ. This is the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not to bring, and that are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So the wisdom of God is clearly distinct from the wisdom that we have in the secular. It's clearly distinct from the wisdom in the natural. You cannot use your intellect in the world to automatically say you are now wise as touching Bible interpretation. No. The Bible describes what wisdom as touching the Bible is to arrive at Christ. Because Christ is the wisdom of God. Simple. So, This is wisdom revealing salvation, which is true faith in Christ Jesus, suffering of Christ, and the glory that should follow. Then number two now. You know, we have been talking about why, even though we recognize that the Bible has a limitation written by men that are limited in their understanding, natural men, yet we still acknowledge that the Bible is still the only material to know God, and that the Bible does not suffer from the limitation of those men. Remember, that's what we are discussing. And we said, number one, why do we say that? Number one, because we have all the pieces of the puzzle. We have all the pieces of the puzzle, and we have the picture it should form clearly told to us. So there is no limitation there. All that is there is understanding. Then number two, the reason why the Bible does not suffer because of the limitation of the prophets. This one is shorter. We'll just look at it very shortly or briefly. Is that we have the epistles. The second reason why the Bible doesn't suffer is that we have the epistles. We have the epistles. The epistles show us practically and clearly that indeed what is written in Genesis to Malachi is about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The epistle confirms it. The epistle brings together that joining that should be done. We have a pattern of it already in the epistle. Brings it together. Though it's written by different men, yet it doesn't have different meanings. All the men arrived at the same conclusion. We'll just look briefly at what the prophets or what the apostles said. Those who wrote the epistles, what they said in the book of Acts, and what they said also in their epistles, to see if indeed they all said the same thing concerning Genesis to Malachi. Are we ready? Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Having Bible study. The study of the Bible. And I've already told you, it is labor. It is diligence. It requires work. We have not even started. We still have almost, well, between now and the next one, we have about 60 more scriptures to go through. So, are we ready? It's breaking dividing walls. You should be used to it by now. Acts 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. This is Peter now. We are examining what the apostles said and what they wrote in the epistles to see if there's a coherence. Acts 10, 37. The word, okay, verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41. Now, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Can we read verse 43 together again? To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. This is the account of Peter, that all the prophets, what they were saying about Christ, about what will happen, about what he would do, and what men will receive because of what he has done. Peter said the same thing in his words. Let's see Paul, Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Round up in 5 minutes. with your cooperation. Acts 13, verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy only one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So is that clear? Did Paul say the same thing? Yes. Now let's see Ephesians. Ephesians, we'll go through the epistles. We have a confidence of the epistles that the scripture wasn't wrong. Genesis to Malachi can be made sense, can be made out of it, and it is only one sense that can be made out of it. Ephesians 3, are we there? Okay, from verse 1 again. Now, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto all his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principality and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. And then he prayed that their eyes again be enlightened, that they can see these things and that understand the power that would work amongst them. So, Paul said, this mystery, written before in the scriptures, now unveiled by me to you, all Gentiles, all men. Same thing he was saying. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. There's just one thing to get from the scriptures. Romans 16:24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 16:25 now. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith to God alone, the wise God through Jesus Christ, the glory to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul is saying what was written by this in the scriptures of the prophets, we are now making it known unto you. Same thing. Same thing. Mystery with Eden, or the puzzles that were not clear, the dark sayings that were not clear, is now revealed through us to men. Second Peter. Chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up by putting you in remembrance. That means he's saying, so long as he's alive, he will put them in remembrance. Verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed a cunningly devised fable, or cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, unto the day dawn and the days that arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, moved by the Holy Ghost. And Peter said the same thing again in 1 Peter, that what he spake was concerning salvation. 1 John chapter 1, the epistles. Writers of the epistles were clear that what they were writing were revelation from Genesis to Malachi, from that documentation. 1 John 1. Well done, everyone. This is Bible study. 1 John 1 from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They're writing the things that they have seen, understood, revealed to them by the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 1. Are we there? 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And of course, he says that that means they will be declared false witnesses. So he's talking about the confidence with which he understood what he was saying. That, hey, I am saying this, not just me, myself, and the apostles. What we are saying is fundamental. Somebody else cannot say something outside this. Nothing else outside this must be recognized. One singular truth that must be recognized. The same confidence of Paul you see in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. We have the epistles as a guide. The epistles showing us clearly that Genesis to Malachi was not saying different things, but one singular thing. Galatians 1, from verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, and say, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So this is the confidence with which they heralded the truth. The confidence in that singular meaning of the scriptures. Singular. No other person can say something besides this. They were so confident about that. They were so confident about that. They confirmed that the documentation have the same meaning. They confirmed the documentation and they confirmed that it has the same meaning. So, from the different puzzles that we have in the Old Testament, from the different puzzle pieces in the Old Testament portion, we have the truth boldly written in the scriptures. From the different puzzle pieces, we have one truth boldly written in the epistles. Boldly written. We have it as a foundation of the truth. That means we have this epistle as a foundation of the truth and also as a further guide, even as we yet navigate the scriptures to see the same things they saw and nothing else. You understand what I just said? We have these truths in the scriptures documented for us in the epistles. So we have the epistles as the foundation of the truth. We have it as a foundation of truth, and we have it as a further guide for us as we also navigate Genesis to Malachi to see the same things that they saw and nothing else. We can't see anything else. There can only be one truth. So we'll stop here and continue from this part in the next part. We can't see anything else from the scriptures. Just one truth. Summary of all we have been saying, the scriptures are not limited because natural men wrote it. No, we understand why they wrote that way. We understand the meaning of dark puzzles or puzzles, dark sayings. We understand all those things. And we also understand that it doesn't limit what the scripture was saying. You can pick it up and by Bible interpretation, piece all the puzzles together, all the pieces of the puzzle together, form the picture the scripture says it should form, and we have a guide in the epistles of what that picture is. Is that clear? All right, let's be on our feet. This is the meaning of Bible interpretation. All we have done in part 1 and part 2 is to answer one part of these religions' belief. They believe that the scripture has different meanings, that the scripture has different meanings, and that anybody can interpret it as they want to. But we have seen that we don't have such luxury, just one meaning. So now you understand why Paul prayed Ephesians 1. Just pick up your Bibles, read Ephesians 1 together, and then we'll pray. From the pages of the scriptures to the teachings of the saints, eternal realities are mine to grasp. Are you in Ephesians 1? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, everyone, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the saints. We are going to read verse 18 together, and we are going to personalize it. That the eyes of my understanding is enlightened, that I know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me, as he said. Do you understand? Let's read again. Verse 18. The eyes of my understanding is enlightened, and I will know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in me, as he said. This is what the believer is supposed to do. This is why we say eternal realities are asked to understand. Because you have to know what you are about. Scripture says it's about you. The glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. We must know it. We must know. Otherwise, persons will just come up and say different things. No. The eyes of our understanding is flooded with illumination. We see clearly. We see clearly the inheritance in the saints. We see clearly. We see clearly the things that set us apart. We see the things that make us who we are. We see the things that make us who we are. This is the truth. We are going to be praying about it again this morning. That your eyes are open to understand. You can better see who you are. You can better understand who you are. You can better understand your realities as a believer. So that you don't spend all your time in the natural. And think that all that is about you is just what you can see. No, eternal realities are yours to grasp. God is not hidden from you. The man who doesn't understand today is because he has blinded his own eyes. It's because his ears are closed. It's because his mind is closed. You are not such a one. At redemption, you receive the Spirit of God. You receive the ability to fully understand God. So there should be nothing about you as a believer that you will not be able to know. You can be able to defend this scripture. The defense of the scripture is yours because the scripture defines who you are. So you cannot just I accept anything that is being said about you. No. It means you are saying you are accepting anything that is being said about you. The defense of the scripture is yours. It's your inheritance as a saint. This is what defines you. As Pastor said again before he left, that your case is not different. Your case is as it is written. So if what you are about is as it is written, you must not joke with anybody that is trying to twist it and say something else. Because in doing that, what they are doing is to twist your identity. What they are doing is to twist your identity and to give you a different version of who you are. No. So pray that your eyes can see clearly, that you can understand and comprehend fully what God has said about you, what the scriptures have said about you. We have 10 minutes. So go ahead and pray. No brother go shining on the feather, rebel, he go pass so feather days. No brother does so very pet to tune the running back about the tune the satiety, brigade, bomber, and others. Pray that the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. In 10 minutes, pray this prayer.